Mrs. Holder, Mr. Ma, Mr. Ma or Ms. Ma.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Peng Chien Ma. I'm for the petitioner. May it please the court, counsel. Your Honors, this case raises three issues for the court to consider. First of all, the administration of the Real ID Act. We have constant cases before the immigration court where a respondent testifies very credibly, and the judge finds the testimony credible, but in the end, the judge would say, you don't have corroborative evidence, so I deny your application for relief. Your Honors, the Real ID Act, from the title of the act, it should be the background information and also the accurate identity of an alien. If the alien testifies to the details of the events that constitute past persecution and the testimony is credible, and the alien should be believed, I find you credible, I should believe you. But in this case, the judge found that the testimony of this alien credible, but in the end he said, I cannot grant you relief because he did not present evidence, corroborative evidence. Your Honor, this case is...
The problem for your client is, what is the evidence that the persecution of him was political?
Yeah, this, Your Honor, this is another issue. This the massive layoff. This involves massive layoffs in China. Since the 1980s, China has been implementing a policy of open door and reform. But the side effect is massive layoff of state workers. In this case, the petitioner was working for the government for years, and he was laid off. But of course, he has a personal interest in the position, but in this case, he also organized 16 people to protest the layoff, as the first case this morning.
But why is that necessarily political? Of course, he and the other workers are very upset at being laid off. It's a major economic hardship, so they protest. But we don't think of labor protests as inherently political. They can be, of course. But what's the evidence that this one was?
Your Honor, because he came here in 2002, and the hearing was, he filed his application in 2008. It's many years. In this case, the sole evidence is his credible testimony to the events.
I'm willing to believe all his testimony. I'm asking you a different question. What is the evidence that this was a political protest rather than simply a protest against losing his job? If he were protesting because he and the others were being fired because they were Christians or because they were capitalists or something, that would be fine. But if it's just they're complaining that they want their jobs back because they're hungry, that's not political persecution.
Your Honor, we have to consider the background of China. And also we have to consider the circumstances under which she...
Well, is every labor protest in China political?
Your Honor, I think so, because the protest touches upon a matter of public concern, because the massive layoffs just affect the lives of thousands and thousands of people. Protesting this kind of layoff, protesting the corrupt practice of the state-owned enterprises.
No, where is there anything in his protest about corrupt public enterprises?
Your Honor, first of all, he organized the 16 workers to protest in front of the...
Where's the evidence that they're concerned about corruption? They're working for this corrupt enterprise. They're happy to work there. They just want their jobs.
Yeah, the corruption led to his layoff, led to the layoff of...
Is he connected? Does he say, this is a corrupt enterprise that's laying off these people?
Yes, Your Honor. He testified that after he was arrested, was detained and beaten by the police, and also beaten by inmates, he sent an anonymous letter to the government, to the local government, exposing the corrupt practices of the employer. That's there. It is in the record that he sent a letter to the government.
But this is after he's been beaten, so it doesn't indicate that he was beaten because he was accusing the government of corruption. He hadn't accused them yet.
Your Honor, in the record, there is also evidence. After the letter was sent out, the police came to his home. Although he was in hiding, the police came into his home seeking for him because of his sending this letter.
Wait a minute. Because he sent the anonymous letter, how is that established? How do you establish that causation?
The persecuting acts is continuing. First of all, I understand.
Did they know the letter was from him?
Yes.
How do we know that from the record?
He testified to it.
How does he know it?
He testified to it, and the immigration judge found him credible. And that's the issue.
Can you explain how they had identified the author of the anonymous letter?
Say it again, Your Honor.
Did he testify to how the police discovered that he was the author of the anonymous letter?
I believe he did testify to the circumstances, how the police found out, and he testified that, but in China, I have to say that a person's handwriting sometimes can lead to the identity of the author of a document. So he testified to the circumstances. I believe the judge or the chief counsel's office questioned him about how the police found out that he was the author of the letter. He testified to some extent to that issue. Your Honor, and also the judge found the record was clear that he was arrested, he was beaten, he suffered a brief loss of consciousness during detention, and also the police came to his home after his release, and even after he got out of the...
How many years ago is this now?
It's 2001 or 2000.
Okay, so it's a decade. How likely is it that the Chinese authorities would bother him if he went back to China? Do they have such long memories? And
Your
do
Honor,
they regard him as a real threat to the state?
Your Honor, he also testified that if he goes back to China, he'll continue to protest, and the living environment would...
Suppose he goes back to China and doesn't protest because he wants his job back, or a job. He wants a job, so he doesn't protest. Is there any risk that he would be persecuted on the basis of what happened 10 years ago?
That's his belief. That's his belief because it's so many years. He can only say that he called his wife, and the wife told him that the police or the government was still looking for him.
After
for what
10
he
years,
did.
They're looking for a guy who protested the loss of his job?
Your Honor,
police must not have a lot to do.
Your Honor, the loss of job is not a simple loss of job in the normal circumstances. We have to understand the background of China and the massive layoff.
I understand that. The more massive layoffs, the less time the police have to harass someone who was laid off 10 years ago and hasn't been
Hey, Your Honor.
The country,
and the more difficult it is to figure out
who
an anonymous letter comes from when there are so many laid off at the same time, a very large group unemployed at that point.
Yes. Your Honor, the layoff, he testified in details, and the judge found him credible. He established past persecution. If the government says, "Oh, you can go back right now because 10 years has passed, you don't need to fear anything," the government need to present some evidence to rebut his testimony, but that the government didn't do.
Thank you, Mr. Ma. Your time has expired.
Thank you.
Ms. Farber?
May it please the Court, my name is Hannah Farber on behalf of the Attorney General. On the basis of a single episode of abuse that occurred over 12 years ago, abuse that resulted from an essentially private dispute and that did not cause serious physical injury, petitioner filed an untimely asylum application almost 8 years after he was admitted to the United States.
I don't understand the weight put on lack of a serious injury. I don't know. Why should that make a difference?
That goes directly to...
Beat up by the police. That's bad enough, I would think, even if you don't have a permanent injury.
He was beaten to the point of unconsciousness.
That's his testimony. However, he provides somewhat conflicting testimony. He talks about how he was an outpatient at a hospital, and his statement accompanying his asylum application indicates that his bruises were healing by the time he was released from detention. This would suggest, as the immigration judge concluded, that he had suffered only superficial injury.
You know, I am very distressed by this. This is a standard ploy of these immigration judges. They take beatings very casually. They want organ damage. That's ridiculous. Torture rarely involves organ damage. They don't want to damage the person's organs, then they have to provide medical care. They inflict pain. That's how you torture people. You don't damage their organs, you inflict pain. Beating is very painful. If you beat a person unconscious, that's very serious. I don't see why. I mean, you have other arguments why he isn't entitled to asylum, but this business of this unrealism about what persecution involves, I think is really dumb.
Well, taking that point into...
Try beating up an immigration judge and see how that would affect his view of what constitutes persecution, right?
That being the case, I would mention Dandan versus Ashcroft, which is in my brief as well as petitioner's brief. And in that case, there was a similar set of circumstances where the petitioner was detained, beaten, deprived of food for 3 days.
Just
pull the microphone a little closer.
But this court found, should I repeat what I was saying or continue from here? So with similar circumstances, a beating during a detention and deprivation of food for 3 days, this court found that the sort of specific information that would compel a finding of persecution had not been presented. So I'm arguing that while it is quite serious that he was beaten during his detention, the record evidence does not compel the conclusion that he suffered persecution because he failed to corroborate his testimony in order to show the severity of the beating itself.
Well, you're falling into that same trap.
Why don't you focus on the issue of motivation?
Right. I'll move to the on account of inquiry. And there I would just argue that even if the harm petitioner did experience in China was commensurate with persecution, he failed to show that it was on account of a protected ground. And there, I would simply reiterate a number of your points, Judge Posner. He failed to demonstrate that he, in fact, held a political opinion. He claims that he was expressing opposition to government corruption when he organized a group of 16 co-workers to protest their loss of employment and termination of benefits. But nowhere in his testimony does he claim that he ever mentioned anything about government corruption when they confronted his former employer. Instead, it was a heated disagreement where they were demanding that they be given their jobs back. This has nothing to do with government corruption, or at least he failed to meet his burden of proof that he was objecting to government corruption.
What is the is Mr. Ma correct that they did discover that he was the author of the anonymous letter?
Nothing in the record compels the conclusion that the authorities had any idea who wrote that letter. He speculates in his testimony that because he had confronted his employer, they drew a conclusion that he was the author of that letter. But as you've pointed out, he was among, I think, 50% of the workforce who were laid off. So I think that's fair to say that that's quite speculative and does not meet his burden of proof and certainly does not compel the conclusion that they knew he was the author of that letter.
In China, how clear is the boundary between economic motivation and political motivation? We're talking here about a government enterprise. It's, it seems like there is no distinction between politics and economics.
Well, I guess in answer to that question, I would direct the court to other cases in which the court has found political opinion based on government corruption. For example, in Marquez versus INS, this court stated that founding an anti-corruption political party or assuming a role in one would demonstrate political opinion, or speaking out repeatedly of the public gadfly against anti-corruption or against corruption would be political opinion. Here, even if there is a link between economic and political opinion, petitioner never demonstrated that he was agitating against state corruption, as opposed to a more private dispute based solely on his interest in regaining employment and getting his benefits back. I would move quickly to the issue of future persecution and simply repeat your own statements, which is that the incident of abuse occurred over 12 years ago. His wife and adult children remain in China unharmed, and the record evidence does not compel a conclusion that he would suffer future persecution if he returns to China.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Barber.
Thank you.
Mr. Ma, your time had expired, but you have another minute if you'd like. Do you have anything further? Do you have anything further? Pardon?
My time has expired already?
Yes, but you can have another minute if you'd like.
I just want to address the issue of political, whether it's political or not. In China, because the enterprises used to be owned by the government, everything is political. Even the government thought everything was political. I think when Mao was in power, the politics first, that is the slogan. And also, even if the government would not like the citizens to feel that everything is political, but everything is political because the government controls every aspect of the citizens' lives. That's the even economic issues involves very heavy political issues. Thank you, Honor. We request that the court reverse the decision of the BIA and remand the case for new decision. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ma.